Good morning, church. We're so glad to see you. In this morning, we'll be wrapping up the series 2021. As we begin to worship, I invite you to stand as we praise the Lord together. Let's pray together. If we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. Lord, we declare that You are the faithful one. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness for the past 9 months in 2020. Lord, as we are looking ahead into the year 2021, we trust that You will remain faithful. And we trust that You are the God of promise. Every word You have spoken will be accomplished, and nothing can stop it. So Lord, as in this morning, as we come together to worship You with all our heart, help us to continue to trust that You are the God of promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. It's good to have you worship with us this morning. Let us lift our voice to worship the one true God.
Hell will never stand a chance. Your name nothing can stop it. You are the God of the promise. Every word will be accomplished. Nothing can stop it. You are the God of the promise.
Hallelujah. Praise you, the God of promise. Hallelujah, the faithful God, we praise you. All this are to your name. Hallelujah.
On that day the earth was born, in a miracle performed, and every heart transformed. You were there in our joy and in our grief, in our doubts and our belief, in our waking and our sleep. You were there.
Your faithfulness endures to all generations. Your love never ceases. You remember your people. You're the God who hear our cry, lift us out of the mire, set our feet on solid ground, and steady us as we move along. So brothers and sisters, even though this year has been a challenging year for many of us, and looking ahead in the year of 2021, there is just so much uncertainty. But church, we have one thing that we are very certain about. We have the Lord God Almighty by our side. We will not falter, for we do not rely on our own strength, but we rely on the faithful God who never forsakes his people. So church, let's fight on. Let's fight by faith. Before we face our greatest fears, before we fight our greatest foe, we put our faith in you. Before we step into the waves, before we march into the fight, we find our strength in you. We won't forget all that you've done. We won't forget all that you've done. You brought streams out of desert, bread out of heaven. Faithful provider you are. You brought fire to the darkness, clouds for a shelter. Mighty defender you are. Before we face our greatest fear, before we fight our greatest foe, we put our faith. We step into the waves, before we march into the fight, we find our strength in you. We won't forget all that you've done. We won't forget all that you've done. You brought streams out of desert, bread out of heaven. Faithful provider you are. You brought fire to the darkness, clouds for shelter. Mighty defender you are. So we walk not by sight, but by faith on the faithful God. We fight not by might, but by strength of the mighty God. We walk not by sight, but by faith of the faithful God. We not by might, but by strength of the mighty God. Oh, we rely on you. Oh, faithful provider. Forget
done. We won't forget all that you've done. You brought streams out of desert, rain out of heaven, faithful provider you are. You brought fire to the darkness, clouds for our shelter, mighty defender you are. So we walk not by sight, but by faith on the faithful God. We fight not by might, but by strength of the mighty God. We walk not by sight, but by faith on the faithful God. We fight not by might, but by strength of the mighty God.
Let us pray. We walk not by sight, but by faith on the faithful God. We fight not by might, but by the strength of the mighty God. So God, we pray that this will be our motto when we step into the year of 2021. For you are the faithful provider. You are the mighty defender. In you, we lack no good things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
So when we turn on the TV, what do we see right now? When I turn on the TV, sometimes I see people being gunned down in senseless murder. I see people, they're just having a good time in their lives. I see people smoking, and I turn a channel, what do I see? I see sexual images on TV, on prime time. I turn the channel once more to the news, and I see rising racial tensions. I see international tensions between two different countries. I see that the environment is suffering. And right now, I see that there are people who are arrogant, conceited, and they are reckless. They don't care about anything that's happening to them. And sometimes, when I bring it closer to my own life, I see people who are arrogant. I see people who are prideful. I see people who simply just are lovers of self, lovers of pleasure. And these people, they don't care anything but themselves. And once more, when I think about this even deeper, I sometimes see people who pretend to be godly, but at the same time, they don't lead a godly lives. That all they care about is me, 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 and me. And sometimes to be a Christian in this kind of environment, it feels incredibly lonely. It feels like I am alone, I'm a rock that's trying to stand firm against the rushing river of things. The media, the advertisements that we see, all this, they have a different morality than we do. And we struggle. We struggle to feel that we need more. We struggle that we are alone. And in this year, 2020, this sense of loneliness is magnified, is amplified because of COVID. With the arrival of COVID, many of us, we are unable to go to communities that are our source of support, our source of help. And during this time, we are stuck at home. We're stuck at home being with our family members. We're stuck at home facing screens and computers. And it feels like I'm tired. I need a break. I need something more than this. But we are unable to have that because of COVID. And what has been happening is that we feel that our spiritual life is drying up. We feel that we are unable to be a good role model. We feel that to be a good role model, it's so hard because there are tension everywhere. And right now we live in anxiety, we live with uncertainty, we live with tension. And all these things just make us feel like, I'm alone. I am very lonely. And for the past month, what we've been doing is we've been looking at 2 Timothy. And we look at 2 Timothy and see how Paul has been encouraging Timothy and what it means to face these kind of challenges. So today we continue to look at that. So previously, Pastor Carson, he shared with us in chapter 2 that we need to stand firm. We need to endure suffering. We need to do this because we are soldiers of Christ. And the reason why we have to do this is because we are faced with many, many different challenges, just like Timothy was facing. As it was said in chapter 3, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having the appearance of godliness, but they deny its power. And I cannot help but see the similarities between what we're experiencing now and what Timothy was experiencing. It is so close. And at the same time, I feel that, oh, so this is how Paul is telling us. This is how Paul is telling Timothy. These are the people around you. These are the things that you'll be facing. And I can recognize that. But Paul, he does not stop there. He continues to tell Timothy, hey, but Timothy, you have done well. You have done well in the sense that you have followed my teaching. You have my conduct, my aim in life, and my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering. And all this, you have it. And for that, you have done well. Keep doing it. And now we come to the point where Paul is concluding his letter to Timothy. And as he concludes, he's telling Timothy, Timothy, I'm almost done. I'm almost at the end of my life. So I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a charge. And this charge that Paul is giving Timothy, all right, it's in front of God, of Jesus Christ. So these are the two people that that Paul is giving the charge to. So he says this in verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. So Paul, at his end, when typically when someone give a charge is when they are about to die. It's like a rich father when he's about to die, he tells his heir, hey son, I'm about to die, but I have things that I have left undone and I need you to go and do it for me. For example, it might be, go and get this building or go and buy this company. Make sure you take care of your mother. Make sure you take care of your family. And usually when all these things were given to the heir or the son, it is done in front of lawyers, of judge. Why? Because these are people with authority to ensure that this charge given to this heir is to be followed and he will do it. But Paul, when he does this, he didn't say, oh, I charge you in front of the provincial governor. I charge you in front of the supreme judge. No. He went straight to the biggest authority he knew, which was God. He went to Jesus Christ, who was going to judge the living and the dead at the second coming, at his appearance. So Paul, instead of saying, hey, I charge you, Timothy, in front of your dad, in front of your mom, in front of your grandmother. No, none of that. He went straight to the person that he knew who had the most power and the most authority. He went to God, he went to Jesus Christ. And in front of the two of them, he told Timothy, Timothy, there are things I need you to do. In verse 2, he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now, there are five things that Paul has told Timothy to do. The first thing is, you need to preach the word. Timothy, you need to keep telling the word. You have to keep telling people about the good news. Keep telling them about the gospel, because this is what you need to do. And this is because what I have been doing, and this is what I have been teaching you. So So you need to keep doing this. This is what you need to do. And Timothy, do this. Be ready in season and out of season. What do you mean by season, out of season? Does it mean I do it in winter or summer? Now, Timothy might be confused, but Paul is telling him, be ready in season and out of season. It means that you have to keep telling the people what's happening, the good news. Tell them the truth, no matter they are ready to listen or not. Whether they want to listen or not, you have to keep telling them. Don't stop. Don't stop. It doesn't matter what the season, it doesn't matter what stage of life they are. Keep telling them. Tell the person on your left, tell the person on your right. Tell every single one, whether they are ready or not, to hear the good news, to hear the truth, and to hear the gospel. Now, but that is not enough, Timothy. You have to reprove, you have to rebuke, and you have to exhort. Now, these are very big words, and Timothy is thinking, oh, wait, I need to reprove, I need to rebuke, I need to exhort. Well, what does it exactly mean? Now, when Paul is telling Timothy, you need to reprove, it means you need to correct. If someone is doing something wrong, Timothy, you have to tell them what is right. You cannot just say, oh, you know, maybe you should be doing this. No. Paul is telling Timothy, you need to reprove them, you need to correct them, you need to tell them, hey, that is wrong. You cannot worship idols, you need to worship God. Tell them what is right. That's the first thing you need to do. The second thing you need to do is that you need to rebuke them. You need to scold them. It's not as simple as just, you know, telling them off, hey, that is wrong. No, you need to seriously and harshly and strictly tell them, that is wrong. Stop doing that. You need to tell them, Timothy, this is your job. Reprove, rebuke. And at the end, you need to exhort them. Exhort is not just encourage, but it's to strongly urge them. Strongly urge them to do what? To do what is right. To strongly urge them to continue the good work. To strongly to continue proclaiming the good news. Now, in current society, it feels like it's quite counterintuitive. Because right now, there's a lot of self-help books out there that tell them, oh, you need to encourage them, you need to talk to them nicely. But here, what Paul is saying is that you need to be strict, you need to be firm. You need to reprove, and you need to rebuke. And then you exhort them. Now, Paul says all this. This is all that you have to do, and do this with patience and teaching. Now, what does Paul mean by do this with patience and teaching? It seems like I am already doing that, aren't I, Paul? Timothy might be thinking, hey, I am already doing this. Why do you have added the words with patience and with teaching? This is because in verse 5, Paul continues to explain why to do this. In verse 3 and 4, he says, okay, for this time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that they will accumulate for themselves, teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth. Now, Paul, he explained himself. He said, hey, Timothy, like I have mentioned before, these people that are around you, they will not listen to you. They will not want to listen to you. In fact, whatever you say to them, they're going to treat this as air passing by their ears. They will not want to listen. Why? Because they would rather, very much rather want someone to tell them only the good things. They only want to hear the good things, things that they want to hear, and things that they say, hey, you know what? What this guy is saying, I like it. It feels good. They only want to listen to a feel-good message. It is like the self-help books. Self-help books that you read and say, oh, you're doing a great job. This is what you are doing. But at the end, is this the truth? No, this is not the truth. Therefore, Timothy, you need patience. You need to teach them. You need to keep telling them, do this in season and out of season. It does not matter whether they want to listen to you or not. None of that matters. What matters is you keep telling them, Timothy, I'm charging you in front of God. Keep doing this. Keep preaching the good news. Keep proclaiming the word. Keep reproving them. Keep rebuking them. And keep exhorting them. Now, with this little diversion, Paul said, okay, wait, I'm not done. Previously, I told you that there are five different things that I need you to do. Okay, five different things. But now I have more things to add. So in verse 5, he continues to add, all right? He said, as for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. and do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So on top of the five things that he mentioned before, all right, which was to proclaim the gospel, all right, be ready in season and out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort, Paul adds on another four more things. The first thing is be sober-minded. The reason why he told Timothy to be sober-minded is because at that time when you hear the feel-good message, the tendency is that, oh, it feels good. Ah, I feel loved. Ah, I feel comforted. And that is when you start to waver and you start to think, oh, maybe this is what people want to hear and this is how I would tell it to them. But Paul reminds Timothy, be firm. Be very firm. Be very clear-minded. Do not let these things deter you from what is the truth. Stay firm. Right? Stay firm. And then he goes on to tell Timothy, you have to endure suffering. Because of what you're saying, because of what people are around you are like, you need to endure suffering. People will not want to listen to you. Things are going to be hard for you. But endure suffering. Paul echoed this message multiple times throughout. In chapter 1, verse 8, he tells them, share in the suffering of the gospel. In chapter 2, verse 3, he says, share the suffering. And in chapter 2, verse 9, he says once more, for which I am suffering. Time and time and time again, Paul tells Timothy, it is going to be hard. The message they are proclaiming is difficult, but you have to endure. Endure the suffering. All right? Keep doing that as I have done. Keep on at it, Timothy. And he continues to tell Timothy, what do you need to do? I've said to proclaim the good news. I've said, be ready in season, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort. All these things are the things that an evangelist would need to do. So keep doing that. Do not stop, all right? Keep doing the work of an evangelist. Timothy, it will be hard, but you need to keep doing this. Why? Because this is your ministry. Paul tells Timothy at the end of the whole charge, 9 different things, and he sums it up with the last one, fulfill your ministry. Timothy, you're called to this. Timothy, this is what you need to do. This is your purpose. And you need to keep doing this. Fulfill your ministry. So Paul tells Timothy, this is what I need to tell you. And right now, I am going to hand my mantle over to you. I'm going to tell you the last part of good news. I've said it's very difficult, okay? It's very tiring. It's to the point where I am poured out like a drink offering. I, Paul, I have run the race. I've run the good race. I've fought the good fight. And at the end of it all, I know that I will be crowned with a righteousness because I have loved God and I have loved Jesus Christ. And all that I've done is for Him. So Timothy, this is my encouragement to you. I am not trying to show off. Paul is not trying to show off that I've done all these good things. No, but instead he was trying to encourage Timothy. He's telling Timothy, Timothy, it's going to be hard. You'll be fighting the good fight. But as long as you keep doing it, at the end of it all, God sees all. And He will reward you. He will award you with a crown of righteousness because you loved Him. It says, not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. This is the key thing. To all who has loved His appearing. Timothy, because you love God, because you love Him, therefore, at the end of it all, when you do all this thing, when you reprove, when you rebuke, when you teach, when you exhort, when you proclaim the gospel, be it the season, whether you're ready, you're not ready, it doesn't matter. When you do all this for God, even if it's tiring, even if you're suffering, you'll be awarded at the end. Know what's happening at the end. Look forward to that. And Paul concludes his encouragement to Timothy. Once more, he tells Timothy, people will betray you. People will be tempted by the world. you might be left alone as I am right now. I only have Yuko beside me. As I'm about to go, I hope I can see you one more time. And I hope that you can come here. But sometimes you might be alone. You might feel alone. But God is with you. No matter what's happening, God is with you. Even if someone stabs you in the back, God is still with you because you love His appearing. And at this point, when I put myself into Timothy's shoe, I cannot help but feel the weight of the mantle that Paul has given me. And I'm thinking, oh, I might be alone. I think it's so hard. I have to suffer. But I have to do all this. I have to fulfill my ministry. And sometimes we feel like we're alone. Where is our encouragement coming from? The words that Paul has said to Timothy is not just for Timothy alone. The charge that he has given to Timothy is not for Timothy alone. It's actually for all of us. Right now, when we are in the situation where we are unable to meet with our pastors, we are unable to meet with our lay leaders, when we are unable to spend time with our community, where would all this come from? It comes from ourselves. It comes from people who are around us in our family. To be honest, we are the role model for people who are around us at home. We are to take on this mantle as well. When Paul told Timothy all these things, it is the same situation as we are going through right now. It is not as if that this is only applicable 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. No. Right now, we still face people who are conceited. We still face people who are lovers of self, lovers of pleasure. We still face people who are arrogant, prideful, reckless. We still face all these people every day. Therefore, this charge, this encouragement, it applies to us. When we are in COVID, we only have the screen with us. When we only have Zoom calls with us, the one who will be the ministers is us. We minister to the people around us. This is your ministry. You might think, but I am not a lay leader. I am not a pastor. I'm just someone who comes to church. But that is the truth. Because in this situation right now, you are the one who is ministering to people around you. Especially more so if you're a parent. Parents, you are the minister to your children. You are the one who will pastor them. You are the one who will model for them, role model for them. When there's no kapos leaders, there's no youth leaders, who is the one that spends the most time with them? It is you, parents. Well, I cannot claim that I am a parent myself because I am not. But I do know as a child who impacted me the most when I was growing up. And I know who I modeled myself after. It is my parents. If my parents did not model for me, what does it mean to serve? I would not know what does it mean to serve. If my parents did not show me, what does it mean to love God with all my heart? I would not know. Why? Because on Sunday, when I go to Sunday school, I spend an hour at the most with my Sunday school teacher. Youth group, at the most, I spend 2 hours with my youth group leaders. But the amount of time I spend with my parents, spend with my family, it's way more than that. I see them almost all the time, every day. 7 days a week, I see them. And that is how much and how impactful our parents are. I know that is how impactful my parents are to me in terms of helping me know what it means to love God, to follow God, to preach the word, to rebuke, to reprove, to exhort. Parents, if you love your child, be this role model for them. But if you love God, do this for your children. Why? Because they are your sheep. They are the people that God has placed under your charge for you to role model for, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort, and to preach the gospel. Whether your kid wants to listen or not, you have to keep doing that. Why? Because they are your children. They are the charges that God has placed in your care. If you are not going to do it, who will? If you are not going to do it, who will? On Sundays, there's only so much time that the leaders can spend with your child. On Friday nights, there's only so much time that the leaders can spend with your child. But parents, you see them every day, even more so when it's COVID season, because everyone is stuck at home. There is no place for them to go. There is no place for you to go. You spend much more time with them. You are working from home. They are studying from home. And you are all in that same space. You see them 24/7, 7 days a week. And if you do not model for them, who will? Therefore, the charge that Timothy receives from Paul, it is not just for Timothy alone. The encouragement that Timothy received as well is not just for Timothy alone. It is for you, it is for me, it is for us. Because we are in the similar situation. But actually, there are a few things that you can actually do to help. To help model for your child. To help model for your youth at home. The first thing that you can do is to participate in worship on time. Just because it is now a video that's posted on YouTube, it does not mean that you can just watch it whenever you want, like 7 p.m. at night, or when you're cooking, just put it on and you listen to the words that the person is speaking. No, but I encourage you to set aside time to worship together with brothers and sisters online together at the same time, to join the community online to worship. Set aside 10 a.m. every single Sunday morning to be there on YouTube to join the rest of the brothers and sisters to be in that community. Show them that you're not alone. You have brothers and sisters who will be there together with you. Model that for them. If you can do that before COVID, why not now? There's no need for you to wake up extra early to drive over to church. But you could take the extra time that you wake up to prepare yourself for worship, to be in the right mindset, wake your children up, wake yourself up, have breakfast, have coffee, turn on the TV, put it on the big screen, settle yourself down, have your notebook with you, have a pen with you, write down the notes, and take that time, set it aside. Set it aside like you used to do before COVID. That is what you can do now. The second thing that you can do is that we have Kapos online, we have youth online, we have youth on Friday nights, we have college on Saturday nights. The church is providing resources. There is videos for Kapos children to watch every single week. Every single week, Kapos will come out with three different videos. We have the toddler video, we have the preschool video, and we have the elementary video. These three different videos cater to the different age group that your child might be in, so that they can still access, they can still hear God's word. And not only that, there is also Zoom. On Sunday, we have Zoom meetings with them to take that time out to worship together with them from 9:30 to 10:15. That is a time when we have different leaders to come together, to lead your child, to spend time with your child, and to basically worship with them. On average, every single week, we have 10 to 12 different leaders spread across 5 different teams to spend time with your child, to connect with them, to communicate with them. We encourage them to be on Zoom by 9:25 so that at 9:30 we can start on time and we will worship together, we will sing praise together, we will listen to a short message on the video, and then we will spread them into groups. They can go into their groups, they will have discussion, they will have small group activity. So this is because we recognize that community is important. Even though it's through a screen, we know that this is something that needs to be done. Community life cannot stop. That is what we have for the elementary. Every single week, week in, week out, this is what will be happening for them. And I encourage you, if you have not registered your child for it, sign them up. Show them what it means to take their time out on every single Sunday to join others in worship. Not only that, for toddler, for preschool, for pre-K and K, every single month there will be meeting. There will be meeting for the parents and the child so that they will see, I am not alone. I am not alone facing these challenges. I have community. The church is here for me. Therefore, I really urge you strongly. Aside from the elementary and the younger children, for the youth on Sunday as well, we have the Zoom program for them. We highly encourage and we urge you very strongly. At 10 o'clock, participate in worship with your youth. And after that, have them join Zoom. There will be a message catered to them. And then after that, there will be small groups. There will be discussion and we can learn more together. For these formative years of grade 6 all the way to grade 9, when they start to be exposed to more things out there, this is a place where they know they can always come back to. The church is always here. They can always come back to church. And this is where we encourage them to build up their relationship. Friendships in church are one thing that will last for a long, long time. And that is something that holds true for most of us. So I encourage you, urge your youth, wake up on time, worship with you at English at 10:20, 10:15, join the Zoom call. There'll be different leaders, 6 different leaders every single week there to facilitate, to learn with your child, to grow with your child. And we'll let them know that the church is a support group for them. They are not alone. Not only that, we also have Friday night youth small group catering from grade 8 all the way to grade 12. This is when they will build the relationship, grow together, learn more about God together, and they will also learn more about the leaders so that they know, I am not alone. I have a community within my friends in small group. I have a larger community that there's the church. I have support. And parents, I encourage you, register them, sign them up, tell them, this is your chance. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort them. Urge them strongly. Tell them this is what you need to do. And you model it for them. Join Oikos yourself as well. Show them what it means. These are the different things that you can do. And the very last thing that I would encourage you to do is to pray and have devotion time with them. Right now, when you're staying at home for the whole entire day, I encourage you, take time out. Take time out such that you can pray with them, read the Bible with them. Help them to build up good habits. This is the time to do it because you are at home with them. Spare that 5 to 10 minutes. Spare that half an hour. Pray with them. Show an interest in what they're doing. Because what we have is newsletters. Every single month, we would have a newsletter from Kapos, from youth, and that would include discussion. Use that as a dinner topic. Build that into part of your life. And we would have questions that's been prepared for you so that you know what's going on, summary to know what's going on, and you could discuss further with them. Do it as part of your devotion. Let them know what is going on and help them to know that this is part of their life. Model it for them. If you love your child, do this for them. If you love God, do this to your child. And I encourage you very strongly. The church is here to support. The church is here to provide resources. But ultimately, it is you parents who would have to take that step and would have to take on that role of being a role model and acknowledge that this is your ministry. Your children are your sheep. You have to own this. You have to join the partnership of the church in order to role model this. And I encourage you to think about that. Let us pray. Lord, at our moment of feeling alone, we know that we have you. And Lord, we want to give thanks that we have the church to support us. So Lord, I pray for the parents to know what they need to do. Lord, I pray for the children to come before you with a pure and innocent heart to learn more about you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be good role models for those who are around us. And let us know that we are not alone. We have you and we have God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I invite you to stand and join us in our response song.
We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us light the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their life's a stirring testament and God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of weaknesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all, our hope and dreams have come and gone, and our children slip through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the
pray. O Lord, may we become faithful servant of yours. We are here, Lord. Train us. Yes, train us. Also, may we be a living testimony of your sustaining grace, so that when the next generations look into our lives, they will be blessed and encouraged. And Lord, we also pray for the next generations. May they also become faithful servants of yours, carry the torch, and bless the many generations coming after us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Before we conclude our worship, I would like to share with you a few important announcements. If this is the first time you join us for worship, I would like to welcome you. And in order to get us to know you better, I would like to invite you to take some time to fill out our online Connect card, which is also can find on screen, the QR code. And if you have been attending Koinonia for many times, I would like to invite you to participate in the ministry of Koinonia through online offering on our church website, mykc.ca. In the next 5 weeks, we'll be studying the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. In this series called The Drought, we'll be studying how sin and stubbornness have drained out the life of God's people in Old Testament. We'll ask, would God be forsake and forget His people when they are indulged in darkness? And we'll explore together, in this wilderness of soul, how can hope be found? So in the next 5 weeks, please join us as we study the life and message of the prophet Jeremiah. For the past 2 weeks, we share about the different serving opportunity in our Sunday worship production. Again, here are the positions that you can consider: camera operator, audio operator, presentation, production assistants, and also video editor. So if you have a burden to serve in any of these positions, you can complete an online servant application by going to our website or scanning the QR code on the screen. Finally, as we conclude our worship, please rise for benediction. I'll be using the book of 2 Timothy to send you. I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort, with complete patience and teaching. Always be sober-minded, endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill the ministry. May the Lord award you on that day the crown of righteousness, just like what He will do to all who have loved His appearing. Amen. And at the end of this worship time, I would like to share with you a short video clip about our first ever Koinonia outdoor baptism in the midst of pandemic. So let's watch and celebrate the baptism of Ken and Alice as they received baptism 2 weeks ago. We'll see you next week.